Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Denham. It's a great day for New Life. Come join us at 1-800-229-3000.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us. Glad you've joined us here on this wonderful May Day. May's always a beautiful month, you know? It just, I love May. And we call my daughter May May for some reason. Her name is Amelia, but just landed on that. Anyway, glad you're with us here today. And one of the things that we love to do is to go to Max Lucado and hear him answer another one of these questions from his book, Max on Life. It's a Q&A book. He does a great job. Here's an example of it. Here's another question from the book, Max on Life, by Max Lucado. Our son, 16 years old, was diagnosed with a mental illness 3 years ago. We have prayed without ceasing for God's healing. But healing has not come, and the atmosphere in our home is becoming increasingly tense. Should we keep praying for his healing, or just accept that he will never be healed?
No, I think you should keep praying for his healing, by all means. I think we need to understand what prayer is. Prayer is not asking God to do what we want, but prayer is asking God to do what is right. Prayer is trusting that God is sovereign and that God is good, and that God will use this to accomplish his ultimate purpose. In your prayers, as you're asking God to heal your son, ask him also to heal yourself. Ask him to bring patience, to bring trust, and to realize that this is a unique assignment in your life. Now, some of us are really excited about the assignment of being blessed by God. Not many of us are excited about the assignment of being burdened by God.
Right.
God does give burdens so that he can reveal his glory and strengthen his children. We need to remember that life is much more than what happens between the womb and the tomb, between the birth and death, but that everything in this life is really preparing us for the eternal kingdom into which we will enter someday. I believe when we reach the eternal kingdom, we'll look back on these days and we'll understand why Paul spoke about the light and momentary troubles that we have that prepare us for the eternal weight of glory. They don't seem light and momentary at the time at all. I know that. But compared to eternity, they really are. So, yes, keep praying for the healing of your son. But remember that prayer is not asking God to do what you want, but asking him to do what is right. Ask him to bring healing to your marriage. Ask him to use this challenge as something that unites your family and not divides your family. And don't create a condition that I believe God is good if he does what I want. He's still good because we don't always know what we need, and he does. He'll bring about what is right. You can know we'll be praying for you too.
Well, he's a wise man, and we love him here, and he's a great friend of the ministry. And the book is called Max on Life, and a lot of questions in there that he answers that I wouldn't have put in there, but no, they're really, really good. So you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com and ask us about that book. You can get it pretty much anywhere. We will take a break and come back and go right to the phones here on New Life Live. Our website is newlife.com, and there you can find out about our New Life weekends that some are for wives of guys struggling with sexual integrity, lose it for life, for weight, transformation, for all the issues, even a marriage weekend that's just coming up, almost here, you can still get in. And you can find out about the Israel trip, too, right there at newlife.com. We'll be back after this.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Let's go to Audrey here on from Riverside, listens on KKLA. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Now, what's going on with you?
I'm calling, and my question is that I have been married for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my husband minimizes my feelings.
Okay. You've been married 2 years. How long did you date before you got married?
We didn't date that long. We only dated for 9 months.
Dated for 9 months. Okay. Now, he did. I assume he didn't minimize your feelings then, or did he?
No, he didn't. No.
Okay.
Would
you give us an example of how he minimizes
your feelings?
Yeah,
what happens now?
Certainly. Well, we are a blended family. He has 3 daughters. Two come over the weekend because they're younger. I have 2 adult children. One lives with me. He's 19 years old, but he leaves when the girls come over. Apparently, there is some civil rivalry with the younger daughters. They don't want my son here. So my son goes to grandma's. He goes to my mom's house. And that's fine. We're trying to make everybody comfortable mm-hmm. here at home.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, my husband has to go beyond the call of duty when his daughters need more attention. And
okay, tell me how he minimizes your feelings.
Yes, he minimizes my feelings when I try to bring up issues in reference to making plans without notifying me in advance. He'll tell me maybe 5 minutes till an appointment that he wants to go to. He had a funeral to go to that I wasn't aware of, and he tells me, oh, by the way, we're going to so-and-so's wake, and I wasn't dressed appropriate for it, and I was very hurt, and I said, look how I'm dressed, jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. You want me to go like this? He goes, yeah, you look fine. I go, really? I go, I'm going to meet friends of yours that you haven't seen for
So he's not very years? Considerate.
He's inconsiderate, and he's controlling.
Yeah, well,
and dismissive.
I didn't know he was controlling until now.
He's dismissive.
I have all your books.
All right, what's the question for us then?
Yes, my question is, what more can I do? I read all the books. I put my feelings in writing. He ignores them even more. I don't know if it helps to indicate that he's in law enforcement.
You need some outside help. You mm-hmm. need outside help. You nagging, writing, telling, talking, obviously is not going to break down that wall that he keeps walking into.
That.
So,
you guys are missing each other, and that's why it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. I'm sure you each have your point of view. He may have some feelings about you sharing your feelings,
mm-hmm.
and so I think what Steve is saying, before you get too much farther into the marriage, it's time to have somebody sit with you to help you so these patterns don't get more and more entrenched.
Right.
Yeah, because right now it sounds like, Audrey, that you feel like he's pretty powerful and you're pretty powerless.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And even his daughters, the little girls, take precedence over you.
So
I was hearing.
Yeah. Would he, by any chance, go to a New Life weekend, the marriage weekend, and just see if you guys could come together and be the people you were before you were married?
Yes, he will.
Well, I think that's what you ought to do. I think that will help you beyond anything else you could do in the least amount of time. So if he's willing to do that, I would do everything I could to get that on the calendar.
Okay, that's definitely something that I want. And he had agreed about, I'd say maybe 6 months ago, I had told him this is something I want us to do together. And
good.
He said yes, so I'm sure he will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, and please hear me, listeners, as I'm saying this, I'm not trying to put anybody in any categories, but sometimes with men that are in positions of power, like law enforcement, right, you know, they're kind of used to their world being pretty much on their terms. And so some of them, not all of them, but some of them kind of get really comfortable living in that lifestyle, and they kind of forget that the humility, that there's somebody on the other side of this relationship that I need to listen to. And I'm not even sure it's conscious. It almost feels subconscious. Maybe he grew up in a home where there were issues of him having being powerless.
Yeah.
And so now he's got it, and he likes it. He likes the taste of it, and he wants to be able to kind of rule the roost. He gets to do it at work, and so now he's trying to do it with his wife. So I think good counsel, Steve, to right off the bat just tell him you guys need other help, you know?
Yeah. And good insight on your part as to why this might be happening. And so many guys, they don't know why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that there is a different type of marriage relationship. They've never seen it other than the man being so controlling and inconsiderate.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to send you How We Love. I think that's going to be a great, great book for you. Let's go to Joe in Los Angeles, California, KKLA.
Up already.
Joe, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
Well, and yourself?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I was married for about 25 years. I'm divorced now, have been for about four. I was really married to the institution of marriage as opposed to my wife. You guys talk about me regularly on your program. You just don't name my name.
I was so proud of you when you said that. I go, look at his insight.
Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know if I have a broken trust mechanism or if it's actually spiritual discernment. But because of the historicity of my relationships, whether it's business, acquaintances, or even a brief dating experience since I was divorced, it seems as though I'm bonding with folk that shouldn't get my trust.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proven not to be safe for me, and I've learned that a trend is a friend. I've been to a couple of seminars, and I want to know what is it, A, in me that makes me bond with those kind of people? And two, is it really a broken trust mechanism, or is it in fact discernment in a new relationship when I see some of the things that make me feel uncomfortable or I feel them and I'm being told that perhaps maybe it's a broken trust mechanism and you're letting things from the past influence the relationship that you're in right now?
Well, let's go with discernment. That's a better way to look at it.
And how do you come up with that so easily?
Well,
he does that. He's kind of the wizard around here.
Well, you know, you're sensing things, and it could be out of fear. You're sensing things that you didn't sense before. You overlooked them.
Right.
Now that you've seen what can happen when you overlook things, now you're braver, more courageous, more observant. So you see and you say it and you move on it. I'm going with discernment. I'm saying you have the ability to tell the difference between a healthy person and a non-healthy person. You listen to the program. You want to be with a healthy female.
So where was trust broken for you, Joe, and your family growing up?
Well, I never saw what you guys teach
mm-hmm.
or what any of the programs teach modeled as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a dysfunctional relationship, whether it was in my own home or whether it was relatives or friends of relatives. So I just have never seen what we talk about or hear about on the radio or even in the Bible modeled ever.
So can you get personal with us? Because you're talking about it like your family mm-hmm. was an institution. So I'm wanting to get to some more fleshy material with you. Like, give us your heart a little bit. What did it look like to grow up? What was Dad like? What was Mom like?
That's a scary question. In fact, I was as I was on hold, I didn't realize the anxiety that comes up.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
waiting. It's easy for me to talk about it and counsel people when I'm driving on the street.
Sure.
And I feel like I'm in the studio with you, but when I'm on hold waiting to be able to get ready to get asked a question, possibly, I got to tell you something. It was kind of scary,
mm-hmm.
and for you to ask me that question is almost scarier.
But, when he's trying to keep some distance.
My dad was an adulterer, and I loved. They're both in heaven now, though he came to the Lord, and so did my mom on her deathbed. And I never saw conflict resolution done amicably. And I grew up and wanted to be the model husband, and my marriage ended up in divorce. Okay. I wasn't the model husband.
So, Joe, so when conflict arises, even in friendships or dating relationships, have you typically then kind of avoided that and smoothed it over, tried to keep the peace?
That's a great question. No, actually, I've learned that I'm supposed to be quiet when women are talking about something that's bothering them as opposed to trying to be the problem solver.
Okay, well, that's good.
I try to address the issue and solve the problem until I learn that my help is no longer wanted or needed. And that's including my daughters, which were estranged from me, and trying to rebuild that relationship was very, very painful as well.
But you said you keep bonding with unsafe people.
It seems that way, yes.
Right. So you're connecting with them, and you're starting to recognize that. And there's a reason why you kind of haven't seen it in the past, and now you're starting to see it. You're starting to see it sooner. That even though you know certain, you've learned some things about relating to people, you're also seeing that you give too much of yourself in a way that's one-sided. Does that make sense? Where it sounds like it's more about them, you know, caring for you or you know, how they feel about you versus how you feel, because that's where the discernment comes in. When it's like, well, how do I feel about this relationship? This person is not feeling too safe in this area. I wonder what that's about. And being able to bring that up and explore that.
Well, you guys are good. what I want to know, though, is what if there comes a point in a relationship when you have to work through those things that are difficult, that could be possible discernment issues, broken trust mechanisms, do you determine whether or not you work through that or you abandon
I get it. So, Joe, this is what I would encourage you to do. I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to find a group where you can begin to go and begin to practice relationship. Kind of like, you know, in school when we were studying science, we got all the book knowledge. You've got a lot of book knowledge now, and, you know, you may benefit from more, but you need some lab time. You need some lab time, actually, with other people in a group context. So maybe, a codependency support group,
mm-hmm.
Any kind of men's support group.
That's focusing on life relationships.
It's going to trigger you. Your bells and whistles are going to mm-hmm. go off. Woohoo! Playground. I call it the sandbox. You get in there and you learn how to do it. And then whatever you learn in there, you begin to take out to the street. You need some lab time, my friend.
All right. Well, I'm really glad that you called. I hope something we've said is helpful. Thanks for the positive comments that you made there. And let me send you Mylan Kay's book, How We Love. I think that'll be a blessing to you. And if anybody else is interested, you hear about it a lot. The workbook is now with the book. You can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to the website at newlife.com. When we come back, we'll go right back to our phones at 1-800-229-3000. We sure do need your help, and we need your support. We also need you to come to our marriage weekend in Washington, D.C. It's just a couple of weeks away. It's going to be a great time, and I hope you can join us with Dr. Stoop and his wife, Jan, Mylan Yurkovich, and his wife, Kay. I'll be there. And my wife's not coming to the marriage weekend, but that's no sign that our marriage is a problem. It's actually very good. Anyway, we're...
It means you have a lot of kids at home.
Yeah. We do have a lot of kids at home.
It does mean.
Four. We'll be back after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and let's talk with, I believe it's Gane, is that right? From San Francisco, KFAX, is that how you say your name?
Hello.
How do you pronounce your name?
Gannett.
Okay. Well, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay. And,
You're in good company, Gannett.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. I've been listening to you the last 10 years, and I'm approving Living Witness and how your program is working. One day I'll call and tell you and what I was and what I'm now, and I was dead and I'm alive. But today I'm calling you about my nephew.
Okay.
My nephew is 21, and he have a panic attack, and he was in the hospital for 10 days, and the first 5 days he doesn't want to take the medicine, not easy. He doesn't want to drink, so the doctor have to give him injection or something for him to survive, and his mom tricked him and went to the doctor, and they just kept him there. He's 21. His mother cannot do anything.
Okay, what's the question for us?
For you is, and he said, God can heal him, and he said if anybody can show me in the Bible, God say I can take a medicine. He said I'm not taking a medicine.
Okay, I can show him in the Bible where he can take medicine. Okay?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you three general times, and then I'm going to give you one very specific time. But in the Old Testament, Elijah told a man to go to the river and dunk himself seven times to be healed of leprosy. So he used an outside agent to heal a problem, the biggest medical problem of that day. Okay, so what I'm saying is God could have instantly healed him, but he didn't. He didn't heal the general instantly. He used an outside man. When Jesus was on the earth, he used mud when he was helping a man who was blind. He used mud on his eyes and then had him go wash out the mud. The Good Samaritan put medicine on a man that had been beaten up. Now, all of these are external uses of an outside substance. But when you have Paul telling Timothy to take a little bit of wine for his stomach, there you have wine used as a medicinal purposes, and you don't really know whether that was to settle down him emotionally or whatever, or just the effect that it has on the stomach. But throughout Scripture, there are things that have happened where a person has been healed, but there's been an outside agent used, and it isn't just God saying, zap, you're healed.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to satisfy him, but Paul and Timothy certainly, look at Paul and his faith and Timothy. Why didn't Paul say, Timothy, pray to God that your stomach will be healed? Well, see, we live outside the garden, so not everything gets instantly healed by God. So we have to be smart.
Okay.
Well, and sometimes there's really a lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, about our body, you know. And sometimes in the Christian community, we have expectations that, you know, God's going to heal us. Why doesn't he? I mean, I work a lot with believers and then many with trauma. So
yeah. And also that there's medicine that could help a liver. That's an organ. But up here, it's not an organ. It's some kind of vapor in there that you don't want to use medicine on. That, to me, is the big fallacy.
Yeah. I mean, really, for your nephew, Gannett, it's really about blood flow in his brain.
Yeah.
There's too much. We were talking earlier today about the basal ganglia, so I'll just bring him up for a moment. there's these gas pedals in the brain. There's two of them. They're called the basal ganglia. And when there's too much blood flow, there's anxiety, nervousness, panic attacks, conflict avoidant, a tendency to predict the worst. I mean, it's a crazy life. And they need help. When we start having panic attacks, I bet your nephew, Gannett, has struggled with anxiety for a while, mm-hmm. and it's gone mm-hmm. unnoticed.
Yeah.
And he might even have tried some drugs to try to calm that down. And then all of a sudden, bam, full-grown panic attack. And that is saying, that's like the sirens. Boo, woo, warning, Will Rogers. We need to get in, calm those basal ganglia down. So I don't know if he doesn't want to take it. My thought is he'll get to want to take it at some point. Because, panic attacks are horrible.
Well,
they
he's really
feel
afraid,
horrible.
Yes. I mean, and here he was tricked to be in the hospital,
right? So
and
that
they're doing all these
anxiety.
Things to him. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. They're not a lot of fun if anyone's ever had them. So.
Well, I had one, and then the big problem for me was then I'd be sitting at dinner with someone, and that little feeling would...
It's like an earthquake.
And,
you're
and
so wondering if the tremor's coming.
I am freaked out because I'm thinking, am I going to be laying on the floor here thinking I'm dying of a heart attack here in about 5 minutes?
That's
because this
feels.
Thing's going to get out of control.
Right.
So,
that's how it feels.
So I had to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then when you talk about it, it helps a little bit.
It does. And that may be what he needs. But sometimes people need that medicinal help.
Yeah.
You know, they need something to help till they can get to the issue. And then there's a bunch of issues underneath that because they don't get fired up like that for nothing.
Hey, I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope you'll give it to him. I hope that it will help him. And I hope something we've said would be helpful to him. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and the website is newlife.com. If you want to join us on the radio, it's 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back for the second half of New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. All right, here we are. I was not prepared to be back. I'm paired now. Let's go to Louisa in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Listens on WORD. Hello there.
Hello. Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening for more than 10 years. I went years ago, Weekend to Remember. We love it. I have some problem with my son. He's 18.
Okay.
He wants to spend 8 hours at least every day since he's come from school in the computer.
Okay, so he goes to school and then he comes home and he gets on the computer?
Yeah.
For 8 hours?
Yes.
Wow.
So
it's like a full-time job,
not a homework.
Yeah, he comes. Around 3, go to his room, and he just come to the table to eat dinner with us. When we call him, come down, eat, and he stay with us at least no more than 20 minutes, and he's gone into his room. And until 11 o'clock that he have to go to bed because we tell him you have to turn it off. And as soon as he get up, he's in the computer until he go to bed. Hmm. 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and the weekend he wants to go sleep with his friends to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And he telling me, then all the mom, all his friends, they're doing it. Yeah, I tried to talk to him. I tried to say that. I told him then he should be doing it for 3-4 hours. It's okay with me, no more than that. He should be more involved with the family. He doesn't want to, like if I say, let's go watch a movie he used to, he doesn't, no, I don't like that movie, let's go to eat out. I'm not hungry.
Yeah. Well, it's very unhealthy.
He wants to do everything else with his friends.
Does he have a job at 18? I'm wondering how.
He was, and he stopped. He said he doesn't need money, so he doesn't have to work.
Oh. So yeah. He can live with you, have a full-time job on his computer, and not have to work.
Now, mm-hmm. Now, do you give him money?
No.
Well,
no, because he saved a lot of money when he was working. And whenever he wants to go to eat with his friends, he just said, Mommy, I'm going to go to eat in park. I said, okay. So he paid.
Okay, so you've got a son that spends 8 hours on the computer, lives with you, doesn't work. It's not good.
Now, just did like you say he's in school?
Thank you, because you know what? I've been asking myself, that I'm too hard.
Is he in school?
Does he go to school?
Yes.
Okay, and I thought you said that. Yeah.
He had good grades. Mm-hmm. That's what he's telling me. He said, Mommy, I have a good grade. What else do you? Do you want good grade? I give it to you. Why can't I be in my computer?
Because it's so excessive. It's compulsive game playing, if that's actually what he's doing. And his whole life is revolving around this. So, I mean, people get sucked into these things. And you hear of adults who stay up all night, end up losing jobs
they
when
can't
they do
stop.
Work. They
just
can't
like gambling.
Stop.
Just it like
is.
Gambling.
It
yep.
is. It becomes an addiction.
They're looking for the win or to up, go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Outdo somebody else who lives in Zimbabwe, whatever it is, they're hooked, and I believe he is hooked. I believe to do anything 8 hours would be
and like if we go into a restaurant, if we're gonna do something after that, if I don't tell him, he get upset because he's waiting to go home to go to his room.
Yeah, see, he's dependent on that for his life. He can't connect with you and the family, and
it's kind of like he's thrilled to death. You know, it's not leading to life. It's really leading to death for him.
That's right.
He used to go to church with us. He was involved in the TNT retreat. TNT and our church, he used to go to work camp every year.
Louisa,
Louisa,
he doesn't want to believe in God anymore.
Well,
we're
trying to
Louisa,
help you.
Louisa, we hear that it's taking over his life.
Yeah.
And now, is his dad on board with you? Because I think, you know, he's living
yes,
in your
he
home.
Is, but
okay.
He's no, he's a good guy. And
you're kind of running the family.
Better father, but he's not tough with him.
Are you kind of running
okay,
the family?
Well, it's time to limit your son's screen time. There has to be some limits because he is unable to do that, and you're losing him into the computer, and it will cripple him. So he needs to have limited screen time.
You say to him, if you had a car and you were driving around in that car by yourself for 8 hours, I would be very worried about you, and I would talk to you about the need for healthy relationships, and I would wonder about what it was in that car that made you feel so comfortable and safe, and I would restrict your use of the car, and we're going to restrict the use of this computer the same way. It's unhealthy. It's too much. And if you can't stop at 4 hours, then we're going to have to stop you at 4 hours.
And then what if he doesn't stop?
And if you don't like this rule, then you're literally going to have to find some other way to support yourself in a place that isn't here. Because we've got to, if you're living here, we've got a responsibility for you to be responsible. And I was hoping you would come to this conclusion, but we're going to come to this. And you really want your husband with you when you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. We talk with him, and, you know, he doesn't. He agree with me, but he doesn't.
Right. Well, this is a tough one. It's very, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's game playing and it seems innocent, but it's not. But just like when a kid breaks trust, you know, you have to kind of have them earn the trust back.
Yeah.
He needs to show you that he's re-engaging in life.
Right.
Right, for you to let up on that. But you're going to have to be very firm.
And it might be maybe a group like Al-Anon might be good for you, Louisa. I mean, it's a different issue, but it's a group of people that have loved ones that struggle with obsessive behavior, struggle with other addictions, you know? This is an addiction to video games or whatever else he's watching. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad that you called. I will send you How We Love Our Kids. I hope that would be helpful to you. And let's talk to Lisa from Tulsa, Oklahoma. KCFO is the station. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Sure. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great today.
Okay. Well, what's going on days when you're not doing so great?
Just one of my questions. I think I probably battle up and down with depression because of one of the questions I'm going to ask you. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with my history, which I'll go over that too. But I'm going to ask the question first so you don't have to wait on that one, and it'll probably make a lot of sense to you.
All right.
The question I'm asking is how to overcome, for one, is trust issues, and I'll go further into that. And then the other thing is coming out of the shell. I'm not reserved. I'm not shy.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm a little bit reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And more so just coming out of, you know, kind of coming out of the shell and like I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I can be around people as if I'm intimidated by others, but I know I'm not. And I believe it has a whole lot to do with having been molested when I was a child by two of my brothers from age 3 to 15.
Oh, my goodness.
And having a trust, you know, issue with men, My father wasn't around. He was basically a donor. I knew, you know, I had I won't say a relationship. He wasn't like a father figure, but he was my dad, you know.
How did the, when did the molestation stop and how did it stop?
It just stopped. It stopped when I was at age 15. That's
and
when it stopped.
Did your mom ever, has your mom ever found out about it?
She never knew about it. I finally told her at the age of 21. And one of the reasons why I did tell her, because one of the things that happened because of the molestation, I believe it's because of molestation, because I started living a perverse lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I started living that type of lifestyle because I didn't trust men. So I actually told her, you know, this is why I'm doing this. So I don't have any trust with men. I have this trust with, you know, at the time was with women. God's delivered me from that as well.
Sure. Okay.
That's why I told her at the age of 21 exactly what happened.
Yeah.
She was clueless. And I don't blame her. She just took care. I was the baby of six, and she just she did all she could. She thought my brothers and sisters were taking care of me, and unfortunately, they weren't.
Do you have a relationship with those two brothers?
I do, somewhat of a relationship. I moved away at 17. I've been gone for 42 now, so I moved away at 17. I can say it's a decent relationship. I can't say it's really that we have a close relationship. We talk to each other all the time. Maybe
have they ever,
you know, a few times a year.
Have they ever acknowledged what happened?
They were pressed to acknowledge what happened because I presented it to them because I had a problem with it and I was trying to be healed from it.
Good.
In the process of being healed, so I gave it back to them pretty much and told them. This is what happened. I acknowledge what happened, and I had to go to them and let them know I'm aware of what happened and told them that I forgive them.
Good for you.
And then to find out it happened to them. It happened to them from some aunt and an uncle.
Oh, my goodness. We'll take a break and come right back for more New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855 or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Well, we're really sorry to hear about the molestation. It's just horrible. What? How could we help you?
My question, I want to find out. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the things that have happened in my past. I just want to find out what does it take or what would you suggest? Because I have a hard time with, I guess, relating to people. When I do actually connect, finally do connect with people, I'm being told, for one, I'm too clingy.
Okay.
Well, I actually do, you know, connect with them, but yeah. I do have a trust issue.
Yeah, sure.
And one of my main questions is, and even, you know, part of ministry as well, is when I'm around other people and I get kind of like I'm in this, I don't know the best way to describe it. It's like I get stuck.
So you want to know how to not do, you want to know how to not do that?
Yes, I just get stuck. It's like I can't pray. My mind is just blank. Can't pray, can't talk. And I know I'm not intimidated. Just, I don't know exactly what's going on. I don't know.
Do either of you have an idea of what's going on?
When you get in a situation where you're with people, it's like you freeze.
Yes, thank you. That's the word.
Okay, okay. Because,
yes.
I mean, that is often a trauma response, because when other people overpowered you, right? Usually the only thing that a child can do is just to survive it. And so either kind of being like the deer in headlights, kind of freezing, or even kind of their mind leaving their body, dissociating, but finding some kind of way to survive that. So in a situation that might not be threatening, like you're saying, as an adult, you're saying this isn't really threatening, but there's a part of you that it triggers. Right? It triggers those feelings from the past and that fear of being overpowered, and so you freeze. So, and that's very uncomfortable. I'm sorry about you experiencing that. This is where, Lisa, I think it's important for you to be in an environment like a group, where there are boundaries in the group, because one of the things is you didn't learn what good boundaries are, right? When siblings are crossing those like they did. And so to be able to feel safe enough to explore relationship with people, but there to be boundaries so you learn what's appropriate. Because sometimes when you want to be, you know, cared for and you have trust issues, you find someone that seems trustworthy, and then you want a lot of them because you don't know what the appropriate distance and closeness is in relationship.
Right.
So that's why you need a more structured environment in which to practice that.
Okay.
And I would just add one other piece to that, Lisa. You brought up depression earlier. And did you know that there's a part of your brain in the limbic system called the amygdala? And the part of that brain actually stores highly charged emotional memories. And it usually wraps a label around that memory. So that trauma event that happened with your brothers, one of the ones that I see a lot common in trauma work is, I can't trust anyone. And so it's kind of embedded. And so you may need to do some deeper work with someone who specializes in trauma to help you. I do EMDR, and there's other things out there that can help, but to help get you to a place where you're no longer kind of bound to that belief, because at that point it was real, but you've kind of made agreements with it along the way, and now it's become a big T in your life, a big truth. So getting through that to the other side, and then doing what Jill invited you into, which is getting into a group and facing your fear, are ways that we help to calm that down so that we're not living with depression.
All right. I'm going to send her the Emotional Freedom Workbook. It's helped a lot of folks, and you use it in your practice.
I do. I use it. I give it as some homework assignments with some of the trauma stuff.
That's
I
really
love
neat.
It.
Emotional Freedom Workbook, and send that out to you. I want to play a video of some Lose It for Life people who went to a New Life weekend, just to show you what happens at a New Life weekend. Here was what happened at our Lose It for Life weekend, and I'd like to play that video now. Here you go.
I came here kicking and screaming. I had no idea what this ministry was. My parents literally threw me on a plane and shipped me off here. I thought I was coming to fat camp. I didn't know what to expect. I had a horrible attitude, but within an hour of getting here and just seeing all the beauty of this event, I called my parents and forgave them, and I said, I'm about to have the time of my life.
It doesn't matter what the number is, whether you have 10 pounds, 20 pounds, or 200 pounds, the issues are all still up here. And I still had a little girl inside me that needed healing.
I leave here with many new friends, a specific yet achievable plan that is not just about losing weight.
To anyone considering attending this event, I would say, just do it. And remember the wise words of Michelle. She said, there's no failure in falling down. The only failure is if we stay down.
If you're considering it, you should consider that that's God calling you and saying to you, you're worth it.
You're not going to be disappointed. It's worth every penny. You won't be the fat one. You're going to gain so much more than you ever thought you would gain.
My future now is so bright, I got to wear shades.
Well, that's what happened at the New Life Weekend for Lose It for Life. We'll have another one of those toward the end of the year. But all of our weekends, whatever your problem, we have a weekend for you. And in July, it's the Transformation Weekend, and it can really change everything. So please go to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about a New Life Weekend near you. It really could change everything. And don't forget, we have Every Man's Battle every month. We just had 54 guys go through Every Man's Battle, and 34 sign up for a Sustained Victory program where they're dealing with this every week. It was just wonderful. And it really is a way to turn things around, this weekend concept, where you're there with counselors and other people struggling in the same way, people wanting to encourage you and sometimes to confront you a little bit. It is a way to turn things around. It doesn't fix everything. It just gets you going in the right direction with some insight and tools that you didn't have before you came. So please call us if we can help you. We have 900 or so counselors around this country, and they're all there wanting and waiting to help you. And also, we have needs, and those needs are to be supported by you. We can't pay for radio time if you don't help us, so please pray about it and see if God is leading you to help us here as we get through this this time. And I just hope and pray that you are called to support us and that you respond to that call. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, you know, there's just a really profound piece of wisdom there. And we always we think that we can overcome the crummy people and that we can be an influence on them. But we're really told to flee temptation. And so it's just a reminder to evaluate the relationships in your life and those people that don't have good habits like you do. You ought to take a second look at your association with them. Now, I'm not telling you to divorce an unhealthy husband or wife. But I am saying maybe that would be a good clue or cue to get some help for the relationship to bring both of you together closer. Anyway, I hope and pray that something we've said today has been helpful to you. If you want help, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE and the website newlife.com. A lot of people will go there first. And then if you can help us, it's the same number and the same website, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you. Thank you for listening and watching. Thanks to all of you who support us. We really do appreciate it. My thanks to Dr. Sherry Denham and to Dr. Jill Hubbard. And pray for us. If you don't do anything else, we sure do need your prayer support. It makes a difference here. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652.
Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.